Blog Talk Radio.
It's time for Live with the Dementia Whisperer, Laura Wayman, founder of the Dementia Whisperers Incorporated. Laura Wayman, nationally recognized expert on dementia and author of A Loving Approach to Dementia Care, published by Johns Hopkins University Press, joins you and 16 million caregivers with real answers and help, with love, wisdom, and compassion for your personal questions and concerns on the dementia journey. Live with the Dementia Whisperer, Laura Wayman. Call in at 929-477-1393. That's 929-477-1393. And now, live with the Dementia Whisperer, Laura Wayman. Are you caring for a loved one, a resident, or a client who's presenting dementia symptoms and challenging behaviors? Our vision is to open up discussion in order to greatly improve quality of care and excellence in service to individuals with Alzheimer's disease or any dementia and related illnesses, and to lend a reassuring hand to their caregivers and families. This is an interactive show, a call-in show, and it's live. And we want to hear from our listeners. I remind you of our call-in line. This is co-host and producer Scott Cluthie. That call-in line is open right now for the next hour. It's 929-477-1393. That's 929-477-1393. And as we offer every program, our first two callers this evening receive a free copy of Laura Wayman's Johns Hopkins University really award-winning book, with the second one coming out soon, A Loving Approach to Dementia Care, Making Meaningful Connections with the Person Who Has Alzheimer's Disease or Other Dementia or Memory Loss, by Laura Wayman. So if you call with a question, it can be a concern, a statement, something you know, something you don't know especially, that's great to tap the wisdom of the Dementia Whisperer and our great guest today. You'll receive a free copy of A Loving Approach to Dementia Care. Again, the call-in number, 929-477-1393. And now, it's time for Laura Wayman, the Dementia Whisperer. Good evening, Laura.
Why, thank you, Scott, for that wonderful introduction, as you always do for me. I'm always so honored to be with you. And could you just take a minute, Scott, to tell our listeners about you? I want people to know that Scott is really a VIP in radio. He is just so experienced in media, and I am so excited that he has come alongside me with this wonderful show on the most horrific illness of our time, which is dementia. And we make this show comfortable for caregivers to call in. We bring in people who can talk about dementia from many different angles, and especially I'm so excited to have our guests that we're going to introduce here in a few minutes. But Scott, tell our listening audience your background. I love to listen to all that you have done for this wonderful media of radio.
Well, Laura, you're very kind to allow me to talk about myself, but the truth is my involvement in media, and specifically radio, goes back more than 35 years. That's right. And it began in public radio with my desire to bring issues, personalities, ideas, concepts on personal growth, body, mind, and spirit to the radio. And I accomplished that at a radio station called KPFT, part of the Pacifica Foundation. And California has the mother and the home of Pacifica there, KPFK in Los Angeles. And there is a Pacifica outlet here in Houston. And it's all listener-sponsored, truly listener-sponsored. And I had the honor of working there as a volunteer and eventually being able to develop my ideas, develop that into a full afternoon program with music and guests on health and wellness and spiritual development and all kinds of aspects. I even had a live massage on the air one day, back when massage sounded like a foreign word. Tai Chi, all these things, aromatherapy, light therapy. Working with,
Scott,
yeah, I actually
hear
on a table while I got a full body massage on the air, experiential radio. So a lot of these things I see here at Revere are things that that I've explored in the past with some of the groundbreakers in that area. And Marilyn Ferguson, I've worked with Deepak Chopra. I later, as you well know, went to Sirius Satellite Radio and hosted two health and wellness and personal development networks there, Wisdom Radio, where I was fortunate to work with Carolyn Kraft, who was also the media director for the Unity Church of Christianity Media Center before she became my boss at Wisdom, and then later at Lyme Healthy Living with a Twist, where I got to actually train Dr. Andrew Weil in radio. So it's always been my commitment to use radio as a vehicle, not just to give an opinion or to talk about anything, but to use it as a vehicle for connecting, for growth, for awareness, and of course, I always learn and grow from all the people I interact with. So thank you, Laura, for letting me share that.
Absolutely, Scott, and thank you for bringing to mind that we want to help people become more dementia aware, to raise their dementia awareness with this show, because it is so important. And why does everyone need to be dementia aware? Because this is a silent pandemic. So today, I want our dear listening audience to know they're not alone. You know, we work really hard to help them if they have worries, concerns, anxieties, if they need advice, inspiration, or encouragement. That's what we do here on the show, and that's what I do as a Dementia Whisperer. If they are on a dementia care journey, they have tuned into the right place today. And we will be taking your calls, like Scott mentioned, and today's show is focusing on our guest, who Scott is going to introduce. I love to hear Scott introduce our guest. And she is the Community Relations Director at Revere Court in Sacramento. And I, just so our listening audience understands, I am here in Northern California. Scott is in Houston. And Casey is joining me here in Northern California from Sacramento. So, Scott, can you give a formal introduction for our guest today?
Absolutely. We are honored today on the Dementia Whisperer with Laura Wayman to have as our guest Casey Simon. She's the Community Relations Director at Revere Court in Sacramento, California. And also, Revere Court, for those listeners who may not know, was formerly known as Primrose, an assisted living community that specializes in caring for adults who have Alzheimer's disease and related forms of dementia. And they provide residential care, respite care, hospice care, and adult daycare as well. And Revere Court has developed unique operational protocols we want to talk to Casey about a little bit to enhance quality of life for residents, emphasizing security and safety in our settings. And I think this is one of the most interesting things about the whole journey of dementia that's such an eye-opener for family members, caregivers, and people who might work in senior services and healthcare and not realize it, but the dimensions of dementia, and as they bloom and as they come to be in life within the person who is suffering with dementia, about safety and security. It's some surprising information that you may not know. And I know that Casey Simon will tell us some of those unique aspects they're providing as programs and services at Revere Court. Casey Simon, welcome to Live with the Dementia Whisperer.
Thank you, Scott. Thank you, Laura. Very happy to be here.
Oh, we're happy to have you.
So, thank you.
Casey, I know you have, and in this industry, a long-term retention is kind of unusual, but I know you've been with Revere Court for a while. How long have you been with Revere Court?
I've been with Revere Court for 8 years now.
Wow. That is just amazing. And I wish our listening audience could also get a visual of Casey, because and I know she's going to be blushing, but it is so true. Casey is absolutely drop-dead gorgeous. And she, if you go, I often see her on my Facebook, and she just has these candid shots.
Oh.
And you would swear she's a model. Oh, she's just absolutely gorgeous. And she's so loving and caring, and she does her job so well.
So, I am blessing. Thank you, Laura. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. So, Casey, tell us a little bit about yourself. How did you get into this very prestigious, wonderful job that you have as a community relations director. What is your journey like to get where you are today?
Sure. Prior to working with Revere Court, I actually worked for an independent retirement community and an assisted living community starting in 2000. And I worked there until 2008 when I was asked to work for a company called Primrose, which is an all-memory care community. Primrose is actually now Revere Court. We were purchased by Chancellor Healthcare 2 years ago. And I absolutely fell in love with working with people, families who are going through the journey with a loved one that has a memory impairment, and learning about dementia, being a support system for the families. It's, you know, something which I know that you know, Laura, so well. You can't change that feeling. It just makes you feel so good to be able to help and support the families. I couldn't imagine doing anything else. Truly.
I have to absolutely agree, of course, with you. And that does show through your work, through your heart in the community. You know, you've been there for a while. Those families love you and trust you. They come to you from all over the community. And you do such a great job getting your fingers into the outside community of Revere Court, that whole area. As a matter of fact, the whole Sacramento area, and some of those things that you do is you have those presentations, those events where you have your caregiver support group and your families. They come, and for example, I just had the great opportunity of presenting a loving approach to dementia care and becoming dementia aware to those groups. And tell us a little bit about some other events that you do. I know you have some great events that bring the community to you as that hub, that dementia expert. Tell us about some of the other events, maybe some that you had coming up, maybe some that you are going to be doing that really get your name out there in such a wonderful way.
Absolutely. What we do is every Wednesday at 10 a.m. we have a wonderful support group, and we call it our Coffee Clutch Support Group, where we do offer a free day club for any family members, caregivers that would like to come. Their loved one can go into our day program for free, and it usually lasts about an hour, hour and a half. About once a month, we'll have a special guest speaker come into our support group. We've had the Alzheimer's Association come in and speak, the Alzheimer's Aid Society come in and speak. I do have Dr. Zong coming from UC Davis. He will actually be there coming up November 30th. We're really looking forward to that. I also do monthly caregiver seminars, which is the one that you spoke at so graciously for us, Laura, and we very much enjoyed that. What I want to do is I want to open up our community for the surrounding community of caregivers, people that are caring for a loved one or have a loved one at home, or even if they've been placed in a community, just to remind them, number one, they need to still care for themselves, and number two, just to educate them about dementia, because really I think the more that we know about it, the better we can go along in this journey and understand. Also, I am doing evening financial and planning for your future, what things you need to have in place prior to placing a loved one, prior to the future of, because we all are going to be in that caregiving role, most of us, in the future, and what exactly do we need to have in place. So I have different speakers come in and talk about that as well.
So you actually reach out and get those experts. And I love that whole perspective of helping these caregivers plan for the future, because, you know, that old saying, if you fail to plan, you're planning to fail. And that
yes.
is so true with caregivers. And often, you know, part of becoming dementia aware, like we're talking about, and helping the entire community, the United States, the world become dementia aware, is all about explaining the different pathways that you must be aware of, because everyone's dementia journey is so different. So you offering
yes.
all these different tools is so helpful. And And I know you find this, this is so fascinating to me, because you can work with one family who is dealing with a loved one with dementia, and you've just only worked with one family who is dealing with a loved one with dementia, because everybody's journey is so unique. And
it is.
That's why I often talk about Revere Court. You know, Casey, I travel all over the United States presenting and training and doing in-services in memory care and doing keynote speeches and counseling with families, and I'm in and out of hundreds of different organizations, memory care communities, assisted living communities, and I honestly, without a doubt, if someone asked me what's your favorite one, if they were to ask me what's your top five, Revere Court is always in that top five. And there's a lot of reasons that we're going to talk about that today, why that is. But the biggest reason is that is your investment in the training for your staff, the training for your families, and the training for the community to help become dementia aware. Because without that, no matter how much of a gem Revere Court is sparkling in the desert of dementia, if we don't have the training to back it up, it won't do us any good. Do you agree with that, Casey?
I agree so much with that. And also, you know, I just want to be that support for families. And, you know, although we do offer the day program, which is a great respite for caregivers who are caring for a loved one at home, and we do offer our community for people to live, but that if they're not ready for that or if it's not the right environment, I still want to be able to reach them and touch them and help them as much as I can. And that's really what it's all about.
That is so true. And not all communities feel that way. Once again, that's why I'm always so honored to be a part of Revere Court, even in a small venue like the training that I did. But also, I have clients in this area who are needing placement. I'm pretty picky about who I might refer them to because there are A-plus types of communities, and there are those that do an adequate job but are not A-plus. And so I'm always placing Revere Court in that. And you know that I have sent many of my families to you knowing that if they needed out-of-home placement, that I always believe and give them the hope that you will do your very best to take care of them in a way that they need. So,
Thank you, Laura. That's a lot. Thank you so much.
You are so welcome. I also want to talk a little bit about, like we mentioned, you know, you have that adult day club because everybody's dementia journey is different. And like you're talking about, not everybody is completely ready for out-of-home placement for their loved one. They may be still able to care for them in their home on a certain level, or, you know, they may have help coming in. But there's also the day program, and this is so important. What I like to tell families is that they need to think of dementia care like a quilt, and there's different colored fabrics that you can access in different venues and different organizations that can help you along with family members. So you want to reach out and get as many different pieces of beautiful fabric to help you with this quilt in order to fully cover that person who needs care. And, you know, Revere Court has lots of different fabrics that you can sew into that quilt, including daycare. So I'll let you describe what do we mean by adult daycare? What is that, and what kinds of services does that offer?
Sure. Our day program is wonderful, not only for those caregivers who still work, because some of them do, and they're caring for a parent, and they need to get to their job Monday through Friday. We are open Monday through Friday from 8 to 6. We do provide transportation, so we can pick up the client from their home, and we can drop them back off at home. Our day clubbers can come. They can come for a full day. They can come for a half a day. We provide all three meals. We provide snacks. We provide, you know, the most important thing is the socialization, the stimulation. We really want to stimulate their brain, stimulate their body. So all throughout the day, we're doing exercises, we're doing brain-stimulating activities, we're having fun, we're making them smile, we're improving their quality of life, but not only their quality of life, but also their caregiver. It's giving them that break that they need to take care of them so that when their loved one comes back home, they've gotten that time so that they are replenished and they're able to go on and take care of them throughout the night. So it really is great. It allows someone truly to stay home longer because they are getting that socialization stimulation that they wouldn't normally get, you know, just sitting at home.
And they're safe. And I have been a visitor at Revere Court, the day club, and they're happy. They truly enjoy coming. We can see as time goes on, we do see a little bit of decline because that's what happens. But everything is met with that perception that we need to change and meet them at their loss and their abilities. So it's an ever-changing landscape. So the daycare, you know, accommodates those losses, which is really important. It's also that listening place, like Casey was talking about, with the listening place where the caregivers can be heard. And is that once a week again, Casey?
It is every Wednesday at 10 a.m., yes.
That's so wonderful because we need to treat that caregiver, that primary caregiver, and that dementia sufferer, we need to treat them as a team because of the overwhelming impact that dementia has on both of them. And so that is a huge leap and progressive mindset that I love about Revere Court once again. So then, okay, so the day club is a great place. It's going well, Casey. And so when is it maybe an opportunity for you to start talking to a family member about maybe moving their loved one in? Maybe it's time. What kinds of things do you usually see when it's time to have that kind of conversation?
Well, it's unfortunately, you know, it's tough. It's very tough. And people do come to me all the time and ask me, when do I know is the time? When do I know is the time? I think the support group is really helpful because others have gone through that. And what they pretty much learn is there's really never a great time because nobody wants to, of course, place their loved one if they don't have to. But if they can no longer safely be in the home or if the caregiver is really, you know, not able to care for them any longer and it's becoming harder and harder, once they place them, once that finally comes, and it does take, you know, some time, and we understand, and that's what we're here for, to talk with them and support them and guide them through this time. They always say, I wish I would have done this sooner. I feel so much better. This is a blessing. I can't thank you enough. And that's really, truly where I feel so wonderful, being able to help them, and I see the difference. You know, I see them start looking healthier when they're coming in to visit their loved ones. They're happy, they're healthier, they're, you know, they're taking better care of themselves, which allows them to come and visit their loved ones who enjoy their visits as well, but they're having a great time. And they say, oh, thank you for coming to visit, and I'll see you later. You know, the nice thing is the way we're situated on 3.5 acres, fully secured and gated, it's like a little neighborhood. So our day clubbers and our residents, they have the freedom to leave their cottage. We're cottage style, so they can leave their cottage and go for a walk anytime they want to, where when they were at home, they don't have that ability because we're afraid that they're not going to find their way safely back. So it really makes them feel like they have gained their independence back. And their loved ones really truly see that. It makes them feel better. It's really a win-win situation.
And it is,
you know, Casey,
hard.
This is Scott Cluthie for our listeners listening to Live with the Dementia Whisperer with Laura Wayman on Blog Talk Radio. I remind you, by the way, our call-in line is easy. We're on live right now. We'd love to hear from you a question or comment about dementia, senior care or any aspect of it, such as residential care, respite care, hospice, adult daycare, the things that Casey Simon's sharing with us today, 929-477-1393 is the call-in line. But Casey, I wanted to talk because hearing the description of the grounds, the property, and so on, and I've visited a lot of properties in Houston, working both the marketing to that community and visiting some of that community. With all that area, 3.5 acres, that sounds really unique, even for the bigger facilities here in Houston. And for your understanding and your knowledge base, is it important that those suffering from dementia have that ability, sort of the elbow room and the freedom to move and yet not, of course, endanger themselves? Do you think that's a very important component of the formula you have at Revere Court?
I do. I think it's very, very important for them to feel that they still have their independence. I think we've actually had some of our residents move from a smaller environment where they weren't able to get out. And
yes,
the constant caregivers trying to redirect them and agitating them, it very much did agitate them. And so then what happens? They put them on medications to you know, calm them down, when all they really want to do is be able to get outside and walk. Most of the time, we, working with our neurologist, who we do have on staff, he's our consultant, we are able to take them off of many of their behavior medications because they're able to have that freedom. It makes a huge difference.
What a big swing to not have to put the meds into a human being that can further dampen their spirit and in some cases disorient them in a whole other sphere. And, you know, that freedom of thought and movement is sort of our basic, one of our human dignities as a human being, isn't it?
Truly, yes, it is.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We're also music and memory certified, and music's a really big component for us as well. With the music and memory program through which we got our certification, you know, we find the music that was from their past and their happy days, and it truly makes a difference as well. We've been able to take many medications. We are really for less medication, more redirection, more music, more independence, and allowing the resident, the person-centered care, let them be them, and we're there to assist them.
Beautiful. Laura?
Yeah, and the grounds are so beautiful and so unique in the fact that there's the cottages where if there is that smaller area needed for processing, the cottage is where they live. So I'll have Casey kind of describe this. And then, so there are doors where you can go in and out, and then there's a very safe area outside, and then you still come back to your little cottage if you need more individualized attention. So there's the bigger world and the smaller world. So Casey, kind of describe those grounds there, because it is really unique.
It is, and I haven't seen anything like it myself, and that's why I really love it so much, because I think that it's what someone deserves that has a memory impairment. They deserve that space and the safety. So on our property, again, we're on 3.5 acres. We do have walking paths. Everything was studied and built by a group of specialists to allow someone to still live and feel as independent as possible. So everywhere they walk, they're going to end up somewhere. And the cottage, we have 4 cottages on our property. Each of the cottages are just like a big house. You walk in the cottage, there's a living room area, there's a dining room area, a full kitchen, there's sitting areas, and there's a lot of room. You know, it's a big open house, so everyone can see what's going on. It's not confusing. It's not overwhelming. All the colors have been specifically designed, all of the lighting, again, to allow someone just not to have that overstimulation and not to be confusing. So very home-like setting, not institutional at all. And there's a lot of room to roam inside the cottages too. So yes, if they don't want to go outside, they don't have to, but that door is always open if they do. They can walk through our garden area, they can go into another cottage and kind of roam around in there. They're always welcome. They can do activities in the different cottages, meet new friends. They can go into the day club. The day club participants can go out whenever they want to for a walk as well. Because we're set up this way, we do have to have a lot of staff. So, of course, each of the cottages have caregivers. Then we have 5 activity staff that are going around assisting, helping, keeping them busy all throughout the day. We have nurses on staff. We have supervisors on staff. So there's just a lot of eyes on everybody at all times for redirection and just to make sure, you know, everybody feels safe, secure, and to guide them back to somewhere where they may have something going on.
Which is directly in line with my trainings is, you know, one of the things just to kind of simplify this very complex word of dementia is I often say that we think of somebody with dementia as who has a broken thinker. And when you have a broken thinker, you need others to think for you. And this is just a really good example. These folks need more staff, not less. And even though
yes.
there is a great environment and they're safe, they need more people thinking for them. And so that it just is, I get really excited when I hear of programs like this because I know they work. And like Casey said, that person who is a dementia sufferer, they deserve this. They deserve to have the very best in care because this is the most horrific illness of our time. And it is already at the bottom of our hour. We're going to take a break. I do want you to know you are listening to Live with the Dementia Whisperer. You can call in at any time. The guest call-in line or the call-in line is 929-477-1393. You can call in and ask questions about Revere Court, ask questions about wanting to get to know Casey a little bit more. You can call in and ask. There's no dumb questions. So please give us a call. We'll be right back after about a two-minute break. We can take your phone calls. But if you are just listening and you just need to absorb this, we welcome you as well. So, Scott, you want to take us into our break?
Absolutely, Laura. Stay tuned for more live with the Community Relations Director at Revere Court in Sacramento, California, Casey Simon, Laura Wayman, and yours truly, Scott Cluthie. Stay with us, won't you? You're listening to Live with the Dementia Whisperer, Laura Wayman. Call in with your personal questions and concerns on the dementia journey. Call 929-477-1393. And visit Laura Wayman online at laurawayman.com. We'll be right back.
I want to thank my mommy for loving me so much, for taking me out to the park, for reading me books, for taking
me to the doctor when I broke my foot in ballet rehearsal,
for leaving me alone when I wanted to be alone.
And now, as a grown-up, I'm thankful for being able to take care of you, my dear mom, for having the chance to take you to the park, for reading you those books we enjoy so much, for being able to take you to your therapies after you twisted your ankle, for understanding that sometimes you simply want to be alone.
Roles change without us noticing. And in your new role, we help you help. Visit aarp.org/caregiving to get practical health and wellness tips to provide even better care for your loved one. Remember, visit aarp.org/caregiving. AARP, we help you help. A public service announcement brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
The odds of becoming a signed artist and having 4 number one albums, 1 in 100 million. The odds of going on to win 7 Grammy Awards, 1 in 1.4 million. The odds of this performer having a child diagnosed with autism, 1 in 68. I'm Toni Braxton, and I encourage you to learn more at autismspeaks.org/signs. Autism Speaks, it's time to listen. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Live with the Dementia Whisperer, Laura Wayman. We'd love to hear from our listeners. Call in at 929-477-1393. and visit Laura Wayman online at laurawayman.com. And now, Laura Wayman, the Dementia Whisperer. Welcome back to Live with the Dementia Whisperer. This is co-host Scott Cluthie. It's great to have you out there listening live today, we hope, or listening on a podcast later with a download. That's terrific, too. Well, we do want you to know the next 30 minutes we're live, and if you have a question or comment, we want to hear from you. 929-477-1393. That's 929-477-1393. And any live callers today get a free copy of A Loving Approach to Dementia Care, the John Hopkins University released book from Laura Wayman. She has a new updated version coming out here, I think, in the spring, Laura, Making Meaningful Connections with a Person Who Has Alzheimer's Disease or Other Dementia or Memory Loss. And our special guest live today, it's Casey Simon, Community Relations Director at Revere Court in Sacramento, California. Casey, welcome back to the show.
Hi, Scott. Thank you.
Absolutely. Laura, take it away.
Okay. Thank you, Scott. And thank you for bringing us back from the break. I do love spending time with Casey, and you can hear her energy and her passion for Revere Court. You know, Revere Court is very progressive thinking in their programming, and you know, they often incorporate some really wonderful new events and new activities. If I'm not mistaken, Casey, do you all use aromatherapy and light therapy? And I know you use music therapy. I believe you use pet therapy, too. Can you talk a little bit about those kinds of things and why it's so important that that is part of your programming?
Sure, yes. Well, as we all know, that music is very, very important. What I love about our activities director is he will not only play music throughout the day in our day club and out in the cottages, but he'll also put it on outside. And so several times if I'm going for a walk, checking the grounds, I will see residents listening to the music. They're walking, they're dancing, they're smiling. I mean, it truly is just a really fun environment, and it just brings back so many happy memories for all of them. And also with the light therapy is very important on many different levels, not only to let us know that you know, brighter and it's time for us to be more awake, but also that it's time for us to kind of calm down now. It's getting, you know, darker, and many other things for the light. The aromatherapy, yes, we use the aromatherapy in different aspects. Our activities director is wonderful with that. We have the pet therapy. We do have animals that come in weekly and come visit the residents. We always encourage our families to bring in their pets as well and share them with us. We even have dog biscuits when you walk in the door for any little furry friends that want to come and see us. We also do have art therapy, and we have a great art program, and it's put on by Artists in Mind, which is Art for Alzheimer's. It's a great, wonderful program where not only does she come in, do hands-on with our residents and our day clubbers, but she'll also bring in a big projection screen, and then she'll put on the projector different pieces of art, and it's kind of like you're at the museum. Everyone will sit around and they will discuss what they're looking at. And everybody sees something different. A lot of times it's bringing up some memories from the past. And then she'll write them down. And we call these little gems of information. And then we put them in their file. And then we can bring them out at a later date because we know this was a happy memory. And we can bring this back up to them. It's something we know that we can talk about with them. Just a wonderful, wonderful program. We also do have massage therapy, which I think is very important. Not only does it feel good, but it's also that one-on-one intention. We have a wonderful massage therapist who comes twice a week and sits with our residents, does the massage. It might just be a hand massage. It might be a little neck massage. But she's truly giving them some one-on-one attention. And she may notice something. She may notice somebody's off, and she'll go and speak to our nurse and say, you know, I think so-and-so isn't feeling too well today, or I noticed this or that, and then we can go back and check on that resident. So I think it's just an extra set of eyes, which is great. But we really do specialize, and we want to make sure that we have the specialists come in and make our residents feel as loved, number one, and happy as possible.
And for our listeners who joined us at the bottom of the hour here, we're talking with Casey Simon, who is the Community Relations Director at Revere Court in Sacramento. And we are talking about the latest in dementia programs that Revere Court has. When I say latest, I mean it's really above and beyond just trends. This is the kind of stuff that Revere Court has found over time to be tried and true. And it's very, when we talked a little bit earlier about person-centered care, this is what we mean. This is a really good example. If we were to look up person-centered care in the dictionary, you know, these things that Revere Court provides are very individualized and customized. And that is part of the Dementia Whisperers, the heart of the Dementia Whisperers program. When I am training about dementia, we have to understand that there is no such thing as good cookie cutter care when it comes to dementia. Everyone presents differently. Everyone needs a different care approach. And we must change the care approach, change the environment, and utilize that medication as a last resort. And that's exactly the same philosophy and culture that Revere Court, that Casey is talking about. There's, like she talked about, the environment, the natural lighting, the outside, there's some different cues to help them find their way if they're suffering from that wandering, that getting lost, that disorientation. There's always someone there because that's necessary, someone close by who has their eyes on them. We can't leave them to think for themselves. We must constantly think for them. And I know you have specialized even dining and nutrition programs that incorporate what is needed for individuals with any cause of dementia. Do you want to talk a little bit about that, Casey, too? I just am so always in awe about and in wonder about how well you all do. So tell us a little bit about even dining and nutrition.
Sure. You know, our chef is wonderful. He really makes things that are healthy for you taste really, really good, and I really mean that. I mean, I love it when he cooks for us as, you know, working there, because he does such a great job, and it really shows in his food that he cooks for our residents. He makes homemade soups. He always wants to have the brightest fruits and vegetables because we know that that's better for brain stimulation. He has special plates that he uses. We want to use the Fiestaware to make it nice and bright. I mean, food is really an event. It's something that we look forward to. We're sitting with our table mates. We want it to be enjoyable. How our staff present the food, how they plate the food, because how we serve it, it's family style. So we bring it out to them. We do give them choices. Sometimes people are unsure of the choices, but because the caregivers, you know, have known them and know them so well and really truly care and know what they like to eat and what they don't like to eat, they will be sure that the resident gets those foods. I really like that in each cottage, he will put some food in there before a meal so you can smell it. So he'll have something going in the crock pot. He'll even specially make rice. A lot of our residents like to have rice with their different meals. He really can specialize it. We truly want to get the healthy foods, and we want to give them choice, not only with the food but with their drinks, and we just want it to be a great experience.
Yeah, and we also understand that we have to meet them at their loss. So just like Casey was talking about, those caregivers understand that if asking someone, do you want chicken or fish, is too much information, and it causes them some concern because they can't process too much information, then you can still give a choice. You just need to give a dementia-aware choice. And so, like Casey is talking about, you say, and we're having your favorite chicken tonight, so that, you know, you're recognizing already that even though it's difficult for that person to make a choice, you're helping them and think for them by telling them, we understand this is your choice. So
yes.
It's just a way to communicate that it takes practice. And I always like to say that it's becoming dementia aware. We have to learn because everybody's so different. What if Mrs. Smith, it's okay if Mrs. Smith says, yes, I want chicken and I don't want fish, then she's still processing that. But if Mrs. Jones can't process that, then we simply have learned to process for them so that we don't cause them anxiety. So it's kind of a special way of giving options, and I love to hear when a community is savvy and understands and is dementia aware, because that's exactly what keeps everything smoothly running in that person's broken thinker, if we're always watching to fill in and think for them. So, you know, even with the dining and nutrition programs, we have to think about, for that person with dementia, we have to think about how many normal brain functions we have to access just in a dining experience. You know, it's just, which utensil do we use? When do we drink? What do we eat first? How much stuff is on our plate? Do we like it? Is it hot? Is it cold? Is that what we want? Is that what we're hungry for? And then when those, the opportunity to choose and access all of those normal brain functions, when we don't have that accessibility, then all of that becomes very confusing and overwhelming. And so we just simply bring it down. We bring it all and simplify. And Revere Court has all of this umbrella of knowledge. They're constantly working on enhancing and making it better. But Casey and I were talking about, when I was there doing the presentation, which I am always so appreciative when Revere Court allows me to come and train, but we were talking about some of the other parts of the community that don't understand dementia awareness, even though they have to work with it and around it all the time. So Casey and I were talking about the opportunity that maybe through Revere Court, the Dementia Whisperer could do some training for some of the parts of the community that do need to become dementia aware. We need to raise their dementia awareness so that we can, even outside the doors of Revere Court, we can have the opportunity to help have a quality of life when that person with dementia, for example, has to go to the emergency room. And Casey and I were talking about this, and I love the story you told about, Casey, when you went to the emergency room and there's somebody there and there's a guard at the door, and your solution for that is so brilliant. So just talk about what you see when one of your residents, for example, has to go to an emergency room, and if they're not dementia aware, what are we seeing in that?
It's very tough because in the emergency room, you know, they have a segregated area for people that have mental problems. If they're a danger, and dementia, they kind of all throw them into the same wing, and you know, it takes a special care to make someone with dementia feel comfortable. Number one, they're in a strange area. They have no idea where they are. There's a strange man standing out the door with, you know, looks like a police officer. It was very scary. And one time that I really stays in my mind is we went for an assessment, and this little guy, he was laying in the bed, and we went up and talked with him, and he was just so frightened. And truly, all he wanted was some ice cream, and they wouldn't do it. They couldn't go [S2] Right. [S1] Find it. Well, we have Jell-O, We have Jell-O. Well, Jell-O's not going to work when you want some ice cream. And it would have made it would have just made it 100% better for his experience. So they did have to medicate him so that he would stay in the bed so he wouldn't keep trying to come out to find some ice cream. It just if they were just a little bit more sensitive to what's going on and how to make these people, you know, feel more comfortable, I think would just be a world of difference. You know, to have a senior with a memory impairment that's confused and scared in one bed and then right next to him, you know, have a person who the police just brought in and is really upset and jumping up and down and yelling and cussing. I mean, it's just not a good environment.
Yeah, they don't really belong in the same space,
No. Literally. No.
You know, and that brings up an interesting point, though, too, Casey, while you were sharing that, and I'd like Laura's input, too. The fine line between too much controlling and too much dependency on the client, the person suffering with dementia, to steer the ship. In this case, that this gentleman wanted ice cream, not Jell-O.
Mm-hmm.
And yet it could be, as Laura, as you talked about, we have to help them with their thinker. So there's a sensitivity training is missing on many levels in our culture in a lot of ways. But it sounds like there's a whole lot of improvement we could do on sensitivity training for the person suffering with dementia and to what degree they're suffering.
Exactly. It would be really important. I mean, just reimagine this scenario if a nurse just said, oh, okay, well, even if there was no ice cream to be found, even if they just went and got something sweet like Jell-O, put a little whipped cream on it, came in and sat down, this is the best I can do, let's have Jell-O together.
Sure.
And just sit there and just be with them and give them a moment to just process, because their processors slowed down and oftentimes not even working. And just
mm-hmm.
have somebody with a smile on their face to come and just sit down and say, wow, this is really scary. Let's have this together. Let's just take a minute and rest. And I do have the opportunity to go into the hospital setting and help. And that's the biggest challenge for these nurses, is they've got to get this information done. They're in a hurry. You know, there's
yeah.
a lot of going on. And so just to have them take that minute, it saves them hours of time later. But they need to have an understanding of what is going on, because the approach has to be so different from somebody who has a normal thinker. So I got really excited when Casey and I were talking about the possibility of through Revere Court, you know, bringing this information out into the community. I recently, as the Dementia Whisperer, had an opportunity, for example, to train in Placer County, which is one of the bigger counties here in Northern California. I trained their in-home supportive services, I trained their nurses, their county nurses, and I had the opportunity to train a few of those in the Roseville, which is here in Placer County, their police force, their interns on the police force, and just the adult system of care. We had a great, great, great presentation. It was a four-hour workshop. They truly got to benefit from really becoming dementia aware, and I completely transformed it so it was things that they could understand from the inside out, dementia, almost like a virtual dementia tour to understand what is going on. And I know we all walked away with such feelings of amendment, and I'm excited to bring that to your area as well, Casey, and just across the United States. You know, Scott and I were just talking about before the show how, you know, I'd love to come to Houston to bring this information. That's exciting to know that this can help so many people, make a huge difference in the lives of these folks that absolutely need to be dementia aware, and that Revere Court and many other organizations are progressive thinkers, and that we together can help the world. It's a huge barrier to care for us to remain in dementia denial and not understand dementia the way that we should. So it's important that we talk about ways that this can happen. So
wonderful. My gosh, that's so wonderful. I hope that we can get it out there more, because really people don't think about it unless they've been touched by it. You know, they
right.
don't, they're not,
exactly.
like you said, dementia aware. They don't think this person must have some type of memory impairment. They think there's something wrong with this person and they don't know what to do. And
we need to fix it. We need to medicate it.
Yeah.
Yes.
And we can't fix it, and there's no medication that's going to fix it. So
right.
it's learning, it's understanding it and learning to manage it, because that's all we have. And helping the family caregiver to understand that is so, so important. I believe that when I walked away from that presentation, for example, Casey, at your place, I think there were 40-some people there. I can't remember, but it was full. And I
yes.
think that they walked away with a little bit of a calming understanding and a peaceful introspection about what they can and can't do, which is painful, but yet it's also comforting when you know, I'm not going to be able to stop this or change it or fix it, but I can learn to manage it and we can get through this together. I think that's such an important message.
Very much. And everybody raved about you, Laura. I mean, it was wonderful. Very, very helpful. And I'm so thankful that I have a couple of your books in our library that I, you know, can offer people. They can rent, or not rent them, they can borrow them and read them, and then they bring them back, and then we can share them with others. And also your video, very helpful. I've already passed it out a couple times, so thank you. Can't thank you enough.
You are welcome, and that's where my heart is. You know, that's my mission. And we'll take just a minute, because I have to talk about the exciting news about the new book coming out in March. It's actually available for pre-order. You can get it hot off the press, A Loving Approach to Dementia Care, the second edition, published by Johns Hopkins University Press. It is completely revised with lots more new information, lots more strategies and perceptions and lessons learned. And I know you completely understand this, both you and Casey and Scott, that we just can't learn enough about this. I learn something new every day. And so it is very exciting that Johns Hopkins gave me this opportunity. I am doing more and more traveling to many of these different memory care and skilled nursing, traveling and doing some great training packages, helping everyone to become dementia aware. Throughout the community, all these different areas, and that is truly my mission, and I am so thankful that I have this opportunity to make a difference in someone's life. My goal is to make a difference in someone's life every day. And, you know, we are almost out of time. I told you, Casey, this time flies by. We have just a little over a
minute. It truly did.
It does.
Wow.
So we would love to have you come back again, because, like I said, you are up there on my top five of favorite people to work with and favorite place to refer to in Revere Court. Our guest, Casey Simon, has been such a pleasure. And
thanks.
Scott, I'm gonna let you kind of close out, but let me give you our closing thought for the day. Our closing thought is, perspective is an incredibly powerful tool. It tempers how we receive information and guides what we choose to do with it. And that was T.A. Sorensen gave us that closing thought. And we truly, I hope, changed everyone's perspective about memory care. It's not a bad place. There are great places that you can reach out to for help if your loved one needs placement. Thank you, Casey, and we want to have you come back. We'll be talking, and I just want to tell you I'm very honored to be a part of Revere Court, even a very small part. So,
thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for the opportunity. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Our special guest on today's edition of Live with the Dementia Whisperer, Laura Wayman, Casey Simon, Community Relations Director at Revere Court in Sacramento, California. For Laura Wayman, this is Scott Cluthie. Take care, be kind, and join us again for Live with the Dementia Whisperer. You've been listening to Live with the Dementia Whisperer, featuring Laura Wayman.
Really great. Yeah.
Get your copy of A Loving Approach to Dementia Care and connect with Laura at laurawayman.com. And join the Dementia Whisperer's newsletter. Send email questions, ideas, and comments to help@laurawayman.com. And join Laura Wayman on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter. This is Scott Cluthy, co-host and executive producer. Join us next time for Live with the Dementia Whisperer, Laura Wayman. Great show, ladies. I don't know if I actually got to the...